Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, conversations on his way out the door of the State Department after serving the President of the United States for 4 years and very much on the road, a hard-working man. I understand he was with the Vice President, with the President when he was Vice President and before. So he's a veteran of Capitol Hill and the White House. His exit dealt with two areas that remain critical and extremely fragile: Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Gaza. I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, writing most recently at Unheard about Mr. Blinken's remarks, and in general about Mr. Blinken's rosy opinion of the work done these last years by his State Department in these three contested zones. A very good evening to you, Anatole. About Afghanistan, the secretary, to my knowledge, did not speak to the whole of the failure in Afghanistan, only to the exit, and did not speak to the upset that the exit caused and still continues to cause to many Afghanistan veterans. He's not a man who is deliberately deceptive. How do you think that this is the... How should we hear these things? I don't want to use the word falsehood. It looked to me that he was looking to put a good face on it, but there were emptinesses in the face. Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Yes, well, I mean, look, he's a politician and a member of an administration. He is, of course, bound to defend that administration's record. But I did feel, you know, my gold standard for as far as one can reasonably expect a politician to go is Obama's interview with The Atlantic in 2016, while he was still president, in which he did acknowledge, quite frankly, some of the mistakes. Well, he's one big mistake of his administration, you know, Libya, and regretted that and said that he would have done it differently, and also, you know, acknowledged the arguments over Syria, but stuck to his line. I mean, I think, though, I mean, there's no way that a U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan was ever going to be clean. I mean, it could have been better conducted, but the point is that, you know, as soon as the U.S. had signaled its determination to withdraw, I mean, of course, everyone who was sitting on the fence, and everyone who was sitting on the fence was the great majority, actually, of the Afghan army and police and even government, was going to go over to the Taliban. Because, you know, they obviously wanted to be the first to make a deal and not the last. And that's not something that the United States could have controlled. I mean, I think a question that the journalists didn't ask was either the FT or the New York Times. And I suspect, if only unconsciously, because, you know, the media also really shares the blame for this, is why for so many years, well, obviously under the Bush administration, but, you know, 8 years under the Obama administration, 4 years under Trump, and then the first year of Biden, the American media, the American public were being told things about Afghanistan by U.S. officials and generals which were simply untrue. These were not evasions, these were not, you know, suppressions, these were active falsehoods about things like the corruption in Afghanistan, the atrocities of the Afghan army and police. I mean, the thing is that, you know, there was a series of articles in the New York Times at the same time last week exposing a lot of this on the part of our Afghan allies. Now, not nearly enough of this made its way through to the general public. And nobody who told these outrageous lies on the record has, you know, paid any price for it. They are still being treated as expert pundits by, you know, CNN and so forth, when in fact they should be regarded as totally discredited. I mean, nothing, you know, if they, from now on, if they said something, you know, about the sun rising in the east, we'd want to double check it.
The caveat here is in the Times interview, not the Financial Times interview, which was done over menu that I don't understand, very mysterious. But the Times interview was straightforward engagement. And at some point, the interviewer asked the secretary, did he acknowledge the defeat in the polling in November? Were his remarks informed by the fact that your worldview has been rejected by the majority of the American people? I don't know whether Mr. Blinken understood that question. His answer was, I don't do politics. Well, of course he does politics.
Well, I know. I mean, that I thought was perhaps, well, apart from Gaza, the worst thing about the whole interview. Because, I mean, nobody can take that statement seriously. And, I mean, what worries me, you see, is not Blinken personally, but you know, the Democrats do need to have a really serious internal discussion about their approach to foreign and security policy and where this went wrong and how this contributed to defeat. Well, you know, this is not a good start from Blinken to that debate. Because he wouldn't debate it.
They're getting their books ready, I can imagine. However, we move on to Gaza, which is an open wound. The hostage deal is not done and maybe never done. But the New York Times pressed him on Gaza, and he was equally, well, you use the word evasion. I like that. He was equally evasive. The Financial Times was much keener to press the story, and perhaps from the European point of view. What do you take from Mr. Blinken's remarks? Is he... He says October 7th was a horror, and yet then all of the hesitations through the year, well, it's more than a year now, it's nearly a year and a half, have not added up to anything. Were they supportive? Were they not supportive? Were they too harsh? Were they too engaged? How did you take Mr. Blinken's remarks? He seemed to have surrounded the questions.
Well, I mean, look, if Blinken had wished truly to live up to his own language about Gaza and that of the Biden administration, he would have resigned at least a year ago, by which time it was absolutely clear that Israel was not going to listen to anything that the US said. And also that, I mean, one doesn't know how far this was Biden himself, how far this was Blinken, you know, but that the US was not going to bring any pressure to bear on Israel to do so. But, you know, but by this stage, I mean, Blinken is so utterly, compromised, I have to say, by the American complicity or the Biden administration's complicity in what has happened in Gaza, and the total, the absolute disconnect from official American values and what America has said on other issues, and just the basic official standards when it comes to issues of human rights, of military aid, of, you know, what you call a genocide. I mean, Blinken has just officially declared that what's happening in Sudan is a genocide. Well, by those standards, what's happening in Gaza is definitely a genocide. And by the way, I mean, I don't agree with that, because I think the term genocide has been grossly overused. But if you use it in, you know, convenient contexts and eliminate it in inconvenient ones, then you have no objective moral standard to talk about these issues at all.
The big threat, not only to Europe, but to NATO, is Ukraine. I'm speaking with Antony Blinken. Antony Levin. We're speaking about Tony Blinken. We're talking about Tony Blinken, who is leaving his role as Secretary of State, but will begin a role as a speaker for the Biden administration. And when we come back, what about Ukraine? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.